Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Thursday edition of the Deeper Daily Broadcast. Glad to have you with me. I'm glad to announce that we had been going verse by verse this week in the 12th chapter of Romans as we've continued the Romans series. We concluded that first segment, which is the first half of the chapter, and we'll do the second half of the chapter at a later time. But for today and tomorrow, I want to begin airing for you a message that we recently did on a Wednesday evening and from John 5, where Jesus talked about how he was not the accuser. Now, this opens with what I like to call some appetizer. We go into Proverbs and talk a little bit about what it means to hear the word. So that'll take a lot of today, but I think both of them are going to bless you. Without delay, let's get into today and tomorrow. The message is titled, If I Am Not Condemned, How Can I Be Accused?
Leading into your main course. I used to do a lot of appetizers at the beginning of sermons. I'm going to bring a few of those back. So tonight, here's your little appetizer. You know, and what got me rolling on this, I think I talked about this Sunday. The services end up kind of running together, but I think it was Sunday we mentioned the importance of hearing the word. Hear the word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word. And how your faith will increase, and I mean in every area, particularly your faith for righteousness. Remember, that's what we believe for first and foremost. We have faith to believe that we are righteous because Jesus was made to be sin. If you can believe God for that, you can believe God for anything. Because it begins with believing that you've been made righteous by the blood. If you don't believe that, then you're already filled with doubt in some areas. Okay, we'll get to that way up later in the hour. But I had that thought in my heart of you need to hear it. I got to present it. You got to hear it. As you hear it, it drops down into your heart. So what if we hear the right thing? When we hear good news, what can the hearing of good news do for us? Proverbs 26. I'm not going to spend too much time. No, not 26. 25. Not too much time here, and we're going to get into, because I want to show you Jesus tonight. The loveliness of Jesus. The beauty of our Savior and His glory. But look at this in 25:25. This is the book of Solomon. You want to know what a wise man would say, read Proverbs. 25:25, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Notice the phrase, good news. News. Good news in the Greek is gospel, right? When you read the word gospel in the New Testament, you're reading good news. Good news is like cold water to a thirsty soul. I love the image of someone being so thirsty and then hearing of good news and it being so needed that it was like drinking the coldest water on the hottest day. And I correlate that with, do you remember the first time that you heard God's grace preached radically? And it was different and it was unusual like anything you've ever heard. And I'm not just talking about way back the day you got saved. I mean, have you, since your conversion, a lot of us got into a lot of works and performance and law and self, and we didn't realize but self-righteousness. And then one day we heard radical grace, how God loves us and He's not mad and the war is over and Jesus has paid for everything. And you remember the mental side of you heard it and said, I don't know. What about this verse? What about this verse? What about this? I got this question. But your spirit side screamed, yes! Right? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody else felt that way? My mental side, the old side of me, spent years, decades studying the Word, went, I don't know, I got this question, and what about this story, and I don't know, I got this objection. But my spirit, man, which is what keeps us going, if we listen to this, we'll stop a lot of times. Our spirit, man, because up here is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, down here is discernment of the spirit. And this is where we live. And so when I remember when I heard it, though there were roadblocks and objections between my ears, in my heart, I was saying, this is it. This is cool water to a thirsty soul. This is good news from a far country. This is news like I've never heard before. And it's that screaming of yes that keeps you coming back. I've had many say that as a compliment in this ministry of I've waited my whole life to hear this, or I always thought there was something more, and I didn't know what it was until I began to hear this message of grace, until I began to hear the message of the new covenant. Or I remember, or I've heard this many times. Pastor, the first several times I heard it, I kept thinking, oh, I don't know, there's got to be this objection, there's got to be something wrong here, something doesn't line up here, but I kept feeling in my spirit every time to see more of Jesus. He seemed so much lovelier. He seemed so beautiful until it became literally like water to a thirsty soul. Isn't that beautiful about grace? Here's what happens when you hear good news. As you hear good news, it's like yes in your spirit. Look at, go backwards to 15. Proverbs 15. Verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat. Now, none of us really like any scriptures that talk about us getting fat. In particular, in Proverbs, if you move on up into the book a little ways, there's some more about how when you, as your soul rests in His blessings, you are made fat. Please don't think that this has anything to do with your physical appearance. There will be no weight gain upon hearing the message of radical grace. That's not... What the word fat is a King James word. It meant a little bit different 400 years ago than it does now. But the closest translation out of this is healthy or prosperous. So what happens if you want your bones, your physical man? Don't take it as an allegory. Take it as your physical man. You want health in your physical frame. A good report makes the bones healthy. What's a good report? You don't have to turn there because you know this. Isaiah chapter 53 is the crucifixion chapter. It's the glorious chapter of the finished work of Jesus. How does it start? Isaiah 53 and 1. Who shall believe our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up as a tender plant out of dry ground. There is no form nor comeliness in him. And he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Who shall believe our report? Isaiah opens that chapter by saying, what I'm about to tell you is so amazing. Who's going to buy this? Who's going to believe this? Do you know it's the same word in the Hebrew that's right there in Proverbs 15:30? A good report makes the bones healthy. What's the good report? Jesus, surely he hath borne your sins and carried your sorrows, carried your sickness, carried your diseases. That's good news. That's a good report. The more you hear that every day, hear more and more and more and more and more of it, health enters your body. You got difficulties, you got areas of sickness and weakness in your life, hear the good news. Take God at His word. A good report makes the bones fat. First part of the verse, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart. The light of the eyes is found, just sneak back two chapters. Look at chapter 13. Let me show you the light of the eyes and we'll move on. I'm going to get you to Jesus. Proverbs 13 and 9, the light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. The light of the righteous will always cause you to rejoice, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Light and lamps in Psalms and Proverbs always refer to the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So what is the light of the eye that makes our heart to rejoice? It is hearing the Word of the Lord. What is the Word of the Lord? The good news. The more you hear the good news, the more your heart rejoices. The more you hear the good news, the more your bones are made fat. The more your bones are made healthy. The more your physical man is prosperous. You will literally see that the message of God's grace and love can transform even your physical body. So many people are living under disease and sickness because they're living under condemnation and discouragement and oppression. They're contracting cancers and all kinds of internal diseases of the organs and blood. They're not sleeping well. They got pains in different areas of their body. And if you ask many, many, many of them, a majority of them, there's somewhere in their spirit, man, a misunderstanding of what God thinks of them. They're carrying condemnation. They feel bad about what things they've done. They think maybe this is payback from God. They got all these erroneous ideas. They can't accept the good news as being good. Thus, there's no health in their physical body. This isn't some psychological trick. This is to the understanding that the good news of Jesus Christ literally transformed body, soul, mind, and spirit. It doesn't just work on your heart, it works on your whole man. What do you got to lose? Hear the good news. And that even rhymes. All right? Let me remind you of what the Gentiles said to the disciples. Sir, we would see Jesus. So I remind myself every time I go into the pulpit, sir, these people would see Jesus. Let's see Jesus tonight, all right? Go to John chapter 5. There was your hors d'oeuvre, getting you ready for the main course tonight. I hope it kind of got your belly stirred and you're just pumped up and ready now to see Jesus do some talking. And when Jesus talks, people listen. And so we ought to. If we have a habit of not listening, it'd be a good time to break that habit. Change course. When Jesus talks, it's worth paying attention to. And let's never discount the words of Christ. Make them of first and foremost importance, realizing that Christ's message, Christ's ministry, set the foundation for everything the Apostle Paul would build on. Though we preach Paul's gospel over and over and over again, Paul built his gospel off the ministry and the finished work of Jesus Christ. So you can take great knowledge of God's grace and favor through the words of Jesus. With that said, of course, many things Jesus said, he said to an old covenant people dealing in old covenant situations. And so we try to bring the difference out in those. A lot of times you'll see Jesus say something that Paul doesn't contradict, but Paul will say it differently. For instance, Jesus makes the statement that unless you forgive, you cannot be forgiven. Jesus is talking to people under the law, in which the only way that they could receive forgiveness under law was if they had forgiven first. Paul comes along and says, you don't receive forgiveness because you're forgiven. You see forgiveness for Christ's sake. Now, is Paul contradicting Jesus? No. Paul's preaching to a post-Calvary world in which Jesus has already paid for all of our sins and all of our stains. So don't see them as contradicting. Don't see them as butting heads. Otherwise, we don't have anything. Let's rightly divide the word of truth. Let's place it in its proper perspective. With that said, let's realize that when Jesus says what he does in John 5, some of the things that Jesus says in John are so scathing, but they're all directed at the Pharisee. They're all directed at those who are self-righteous. And he makes this amazing statement, verse 45 of John 5. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Now, notice that Jesus has just given us the entire doctrine of condemnation. Every person that is condemned, there is someone who's not doing it, and there's someone who is doing it. And Jesus just tells you both. He says, don't think that I am the one, and by I, he's pointing to the man right, speaking in red, Jesus. Don't think that I will accuse you to the Father. Because there is one that accuses you. So these men are guilty. There's something in their lives that is wrong, but Jesus is not going to be the one that points it out. Although a lot of times we hear people saying that that's the role of Jesus, is to point out stuff going on in their lives. Even Jesus said, you don't need me to do that. You already have someone that will accuse you, even Moses, in whom you trust. And what's interesting about this is that Moses has been dead for a long, long time. Jesus is the only one standing there alive that could possibly accuse them. Yet he says that Moses is the one that accuses them. So is Jesus referring to the fact that Moses is going to come back, or Moses is going to be sitting at the judgment and accusing them? No, what we have to do is take in perspective what Moses did in his ministry. And what was the contribution of Moses to the Word of God? The law. And let's not be down on Moses for that. Moses did exactly what he was supposed to do. The law served its purpose, which was to make sin explode so that man would need this same Jesus. Moses did exactly what he was supposed to do. He gave law to people who demanded it. Remember that in Exodus 19, God's dealing with Israel by grace, but Israel says, no, whatever thou sayest unto us, we are well capable of doing whatever it is you tell us to do. So God gave law. And the response to law then was immediately they began to break law. Consequently, did you notice that there was no problem with a lot of the sins that ended up being problematic?
I want to thank you for listening, and that's all that we have time for today. You've been listening to a portion of our message entitled, If I Am Not Condemned, How Can I Be Accused? If you'd like a copy of this message on one CD, it's approximately 1 hour long, and it's our gift to you. Just ask for it by the title, How Can I Be Condemned If I Am Not Accused? If you can't remember the whole title, just ask for How Can I Be Condemned. We'll know what you're talking about, and we'll get it to you as quick as we can. Remember, you're greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply
Thank
loved.
You for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.